Okay, can you work? Can you spell pride? Pride. Can you spell it? P-R-I-D-E. You know something? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about case studies in pride. What? No! Not me! Who, me? I'm not proud. I'm the most humble person on the face of the earth. Ask your spouse. Ask your kids. Ask your co-workers. You know, this is something that impacts all of us because at one time or another, maybe even tonight, you're sitting there saying, I don't need this. I don't need this. I know everything I need to know. We all have pride problems tonight. And we've had them in the past. And we need to get rid of that. We need to understand what those things do. So we're going to take five case studies tonight on pride. But you know, the first thing is where is the source? You know, Satan is the source. There are two basic passages that talk about Satan. One's in Isaiah 14, and the other one's in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 19, there's a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. Now we know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that there's spiritual wickedness in high places, and that Satan is the prince and power of the air. But here we see, it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And here we see Satan in full array. It says, Thou hast been in Eden. Now we know that the physical king of Tyre was not there because God hadn't created him yet. It was just Adam and Eve. But we know that Satan was there in Genesis chapter 3. It says, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He was a serpent, but he was a beautiful one. If he was a scary looking being, Eve would have run away. Eve would have run away. And we see right here, you know, when God makes things, He makes them beautiful. He makes them beautiful. We mess it up. Pride messes it up. Verse 14 says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Oh, by the way, Satan is not Christ's brother.
Amen.
Christ is God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Satan was created. Okay? From the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. You know, he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And it says, And thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. And we can read that in the end of Revelation. Verse 17, thine heart, and here's the problem. He's the originator of pride. He wanted to be like God. He says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. See, Satan had a beginning and he has an end. He is not eternal. He will be destroyed. And we know that from the Bible, God's truth. So Satan is the source. And we know how he made, you know, he tricked Adam and Eve into sinning. Actually, not tricked. They made a conscious decision. They made a conscious decision because it was good to look at. And it was desired. It was going to make one wise. And Satan said, hey, if you eat this, you'll be just like God. See, that was his problem. He wanted to be God. And you know, that's the mode he operates. He just wants us all to be like God. That's his pitch. That's his pitch line to us. So tonight, you could take the word pride. And we're going to use the letters of pride and talk about 5 points or 5 case studies on pride. The first thing about pride is that promotes self. A proud person only talks about themselves. A proud person thinks that they have all the answers. A proud person thinks that they can even tell God what to do. That's what Satan tried to do. Hey, you know something? There's someone in the New Testament tried that too. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 25. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Here's a secret, folks. Satan didn't want that to happen. That was God's plan from the beginning. And people, you either do God's plan or you're doing Satan's plan. You're either fulfilling the Word of God positively or you're fulfilling the Word of God negatively. Then Peter, look at this. If you really think about this, then Peter took him. Hey, Jesus, let me talk to you a little bit here. Let me give you some advice. Okay? Let me give you some advice. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Wait a second. See, we can turn on a dime, can't we? We could just turn instantly. You go and read the passage in front of it, right ahead of this, and Peter confesses that he's the Christ, the Messiah. And now, Peter, the audacity of him to rebuke God. We began to rebuke Satan. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee because I said so. See the pride? It's exactly what Satan was up to. And it says, but he turned. And I'm glad that God doesn't mince any words. It says, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, what? Satan. Now, that was Peter. But Peter was being empowered by who? Satan. He was being the agent of Satan. You're either the agent of God or the agent of Satan. If you're the agent of Satan, pride's got you. Pride's got you. He said, thou art offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him what? What's the opposite of pride? Humility. What do you have to do with pride, folks? You have to deny it. Everybody, oh, I don't have it in the first. Oh, yes, you do. You got to get rid of it. You got to nail it to the cross that Christ died on. And then start anew. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, pride promotes self. It gives you the false sense of being better than who you really are. It gives you the false sense of being better than who you really are. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says this, for I say, through the the grace given unto me. You know, the only way that you can conquer spiritual issues is through God's grace. The only way that you can become wise is through God's wisdom. The only way that you could be a vessel of His use is to be filled with the Spirit. He says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you." Now here's the key. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We're all sinners saved by grace. And if you're not saved by grace, you need to be tonight. Either here or on the internet, wherever. You need to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive your sins and accept Him as your Savior. He said, "They ought to think, but to think what? Soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." See, everyone can get saved. The issue is whether or not you're going to exercise that faith. So when you promote yourself, you're saying that you're better than what you really are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says this. It says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth what? Nothing." Now, that's pretty harsh. Don't talk to me like that. What? Step on your pride? Step on your pride? Knoweth nothing. Yet as he ought to know. So the first thing is it promotes self. The second thing is the R. Resist God. See, Satan wanted to be like God. And he wants to undo everything that God wants to do. Peter was right in his court right there. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses." Now we're going to talk about them in a minute, okay? Okay? Jannes means to be vexed, or he that vexes, okay? And Jambres talks about being foaming, like foaming at the mouth, like being mad, okay? Withstood Moses. You can't find those words in any other place than here, okay? It says, "So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." If you have pride and you're letting your pride drive you, you're not following God. It says, "But they shall proceed," how far? "No further. No further, for their folly shall be manifested all men as theirs also was." Now, most of the Hebrew scholars and most of the Talmud and the Jewish leaders that passed on things down thing, these two dudes were Pharaoh's magicians. These two dudes were Pharaoh's magicians. Like, just like the king of Tyre, that was Satan there, okay? So these were Satan's agents here. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, it says, "Then Pharaoh, also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments." And they can mimic something. You know that Satan is what? Disguises himself as an angel of light. And how come his agents won't do that too? Agents will do that too. But you know something? There comes a time when God shows himself as God and you show yourself as not. And in these cases, after a couple of plagues, then they couldn't replicate what was going on here. He said, "Pharaoh, shh, got a secret for you. That's the finger of God. We can't do anymore. And you know, you say you're the sun god and everybody, you're a god. I don't know about that." But you know something? Pride let Pharaoh harden his heart. Pride will let anyone harden their heart. So it resists God. Well, the point is, pride keeps us from listening. Here's some things about resisting God. You know, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." But pride will keep us from, you know why? Because we say, "I don't need that." How many times have you guys seen the instructions and you said, "I don't need that"? And then all of a sudden you wind up with more parts than you had, and it doesn't look like the diagram. And you say, "How does that happen?" and you wind up having to do three times the work to get it right the first, you know, where you could have just done it the first time and followed the instructions. Ah, no, but we don't want to listen. See, Stephen, he's talking to the religious leaders. And he was bold. And he says, ye stiff-necked, well, that's a symptom of pride. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Yikes! Ye do what? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. You know, Christ called them that your father is the devil. And so the point is that pride makes us resist God. It keeps us from listening. Pride keeps us from resisting God, from receiving God's grace. Another reason why you don't get blessed could be pride. Might be sin, but that comes from pride. Because you know what sin and pride have in common? I is right in the middle of them. I is right in the middle of both words. And so in James chapter 4 verse 6 it says, but he what? Giveth more grace to those who are listening. To those who are not proud. To those that don't say, well God, I got a lesson for you. No, he's got lessons for us. Are we listening? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God what? Resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. See, pride keeps us from listening. Pride keeps us from receiving God's grace. Pride keeps us from respecting God. See, Satan has no respect for God. But even he is going to have to admit that Christ is God one day. And everyone will. In Proverbs 8, verse 3, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way. Here's three things that God lists here. He says, pride and arrogancy and the evil way. And the fourth one, the forward mouth, because that speaks great things, because that's what Satan did. Spoke great things. Do I hate? Now I got a question for you. Why on God's good earth would people who say they love God with all their heart and want to do His will and are saved and redeemed by Him do something that our Heavenly Father hates? Think about that. See, if you're doing that, you're resisting God. You're resisting God. You're not listening to Him. You don't respect Him. You're not receiving His grace, which would enable you to do what God wants you to do. And so the first thing, P means what? Promotes self. R means resist God. The number three, the I, it incites argument. Or it makes argument. See? Oh boy. You come to my work, you go to most people's work, you sit around the water cooler or whatever the case may be, and you get into discussion. It might be even with your own kids, or it might be watching something on the news. And anymore, if you don't agree with someone, you're wrong. You know why? Because everybody is proud. You know why? Because they say, my way is the only way. You got to come this way. And think about it. See, pride makes us feel that our way is the only correct way. Remember Peter? God set the plan of Christ in motion before eternity began. And Peter has the audacity to say, nope, not on my watch. Not going to happen. Yes, it will. Because God is God and you're not. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, it says, only Can't be any clearer than this. Only by pride cometh contention. What's contention? It's argument. People aren't on the same page. It causes division. It causes disputes. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Hey, we get there in a couple weeks. Okay? Proverbs 12 this coming Wednesday night. But it makes us feel that our way is the only right way. The result of the contention is division. It could be division in your family. It can be division in your church. It's definitely division in our nation and in our city and around us. It's definitely there. You remember Paul's writing his letter to the Corinthians, his first letter. Now he's heard some stuff. And he's going to take them to task on this. And their problem was pride. Their problem was immaturity, spiritual immaturity. But here's how this incites argument. We can see this right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, it says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you give advice, it needs to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be based on His truth. Walk in His will with His humility. That ye all what? Speak the same thing. What does that mean? They weren't. They weren't on the same page. Pride causes what? Contention. Okay? Contention results in division. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it be declared unto me of you by brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Now I wonder what they said about Chloe that night when they read this letter. Folks, taking a stand is hard. That there are what? Contentions. Where does it come from? Pride. The Bible says so. It must be true, right? There are contentions among you. Now, as I say, that everyone, how many of them? Every one of them. There was no one guiltless of this. Everyone is like, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. I'm of Christ. Top that. Top that. See, and what happened is, they all got in a big division. And then it got even, well, I got baptized by this person. Where did you get baptized by? My baptism is better than yours. My salvation is better than yours. No, we all have the same salvation. It's only in Christ. It's not in man. Folks, we're all sinners saved by grace. But by the grace of God, there go I. And the point is, we need to be on God's page. We're nothing without Him. And we need to understand that. So it results, the result of the argument is division. So that's the I. Okay? Promotes self, resists God, incites argument, brings division. Yeah, there's no division in the house. Oh, really? And then the D is it deceives. It deceives. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Christ is talking to them. He's talking to the crowd. He's trying to get right into where they live. And see, God wants to come into the areas where you live and fix you. It says, and He spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and what? Despised others. You could also put the D for pride that you despise other people because you're better than them. But it says, two men went up in a temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as this other dude over here. As other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as that guy. brings him out. I fast twice in a week.
Wow.
I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. At least he knew who he was. The Pharisee didn't. See, the Pharisee is a sinner too. He just didn't know it. You know why? His pride got in the way. And he's resisting God. He's inciting an argument. He's promoting himself. You see that right there. You see it right there. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So don't deceive yourself. We're only as good as God as we allow God to make us good. You can't be good on your own. See, it deceives you. You think you're not as bad as somebody else, which is just another way of saying that you're better than what you think you are. And I've heard that so many times. Probably you've heard it too. Well, I didn't do what they did. Okay? Or look in the Garden of Eden. Look in the Garden of Eden. God to Adam. Adam, did you eat that fruit? The woman made me do it. The one you gave me. How dare you give me someone that would cause me to sin? What are you thinking about, God? Eve, why did you do that? The serpent! The serpent did it! Everyone sins when they're drawn away of what? Their own lust and enticed. That's what the Bible says. Well, I'm not as bad as a serpent. Well, I'm not as bad as Eve. Well, I'm not as... See that? And we all do it. We all do it. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Hast thou faith? Question mark. Have it to thyself before God. The only barometer that you have of your faith is what you're doing for God, yourself. You don't compare yourselves to anybody else. That was the problem, Corinthian church. Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm a Peter. Well, I'm a Paul. I'm a Christ. No. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Remember what Christ talked about basically looking at little nitinoids, peoples in life. He says, before you take the mote out of one eye, you look at the beam that's in your own. See, pride makes us not see what we are. Makes us think that we're better who we really are, and basically thinks we're not as bad as others think we say we are. I'm as bad as the Bible says I am. I need God's grace. And if you don't think you need God's grace, then you're deceiving yourself. You need to listen. Okay? You need to receive God's grace. So it deceives us. Lastly, the E, everyone is capable of doing this. Everyone. The most righteous man alive, the lowliest person, the most humble man alive could do it. And I'm going to give you an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. Okay, the first one. Everyone's capable. Beware when you're angry. Beware when someone does something that doesn't go your way. And we'll use the example of Moses. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were on the face of the earth." And this was a discussion right before Miriam and Aaron came and started telling Moses, and then Miriam had leprosy. So they're out in the wilderness. You know, God's been doing things for them and providing for them and doing all these great things because we serve a great God. And He's not going to let us suffer, especially those that are on His path. And so they get to this place called Meribah. Okay? And they're thirsty. And all they want to do was just whine about themselves. And that's what pride does too. It's all about me. Promote yourself. Resist God. Incite argument. Deceives one. So in Numbers chapter 20, verses 30 through 13, there is this incident. And the people chose. They had a contention with Moses. They had a disagreement with him. They were mad when Moses spake, saying, "Moses, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord." You know why they died before the Lord? Because they weren't doing God's way. Ah, that's okay. "And why have ye brought us up, brought the congregation?" Oh, the word for congregation can also be translated as community. Okay? "Brought up the congregation of the Lord in this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt?" See, we got to start thinking about how this was really going down. You know, we read it like, we don't read the Bible like a novel. Understand what's going on here, the dynamics that's going on. It says, "To bring us into this evil place. It is no place of seed, or figs, or vines, or pomegranates, neither they have water to drink. Moses, why'd you do this?" And Moses and Aaron went from the present assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord showed up. You know something? That's how you deal with conflict, folks. You go ask God. But then you need to follow through. You need to follow through. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth this water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink." Hey, that is really simple. Go talk to the rock. You know, we talk to rocks all day long. Moses took the rod from before the Lord as He commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and here we see the pride creeping in. "I've been to the tabernacle. God's told me what to do, you worthless, faithless people." Look at this. "And He said unto them, hear now what? Ye rebels, I'm the only one following God here. You are. You're rebelling against God. I'll show you a thing or two. Must we fetch water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. That's not what God told him to do. But you know, because you smote the rock before and it brought forth water, God's word always happens the same way. and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Hey, problem solved. Not so fast. See, we can't hide anything from God, especially our pride and our disobedience, because that's what pride leads to. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, or strife, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord and he was sanctified in them. And basically, pride can cost you the promise. Moses got close, but he didn't get in the promised land. Moses saw the promise, but he didn't get there. You know why? Because he disobeyed God. You know why? Because at this one moment in time, he said, you rebels, I've had it. And we would understand that it would make sense, right? Because of all the other trouble that they had given Moses up to this point. But see, that doesn't justify ourselves in the sight of God. God wants you obedient now. And all the stuff in the past is in the past. So see, pride can cost you the promise. Everyone's capable. Now let's move to the New Testament. Let's move to the disciple who talks about God as love, writes great letters about the love of God. And that's the disciple John. Okay? In Luke 9, verses 49 through 56. Now, you got to go up again a little bit further. And there was a disagreement among them on who was going to be the greatest. What does it matter if you get to heaven? What does it matter? I mean, the smallest mansion in heaven is better than the biggest one on earth. What does it matter? Christ gives them this example of suffer little children and all this stuff here. And now, see, John's feelings are hurt. See, when you get corrected, how we receive that correction kind of says, hey, you're proud or not. How you get constructive criticism. And when we get it, we don't think of it as very constructive, do we? And we've all been there, haven't we? And John, so, trying to deflect it, John answered, said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he didn't follow. He wasn't part of us. Jesus said unto him, forbid him not. Uh-oh. For he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, see, a couple days later, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and set messengers before his face, and they went and entered the village to make ready for him, and they did not receive him. What? You mean the King of Glory, he's coming in, and they didn't receive him? How dare they do that? How dare they do that? Because his face was as he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and turn them into crispy critters? And consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, what? Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. And I want that to be clearly understood tonight, here and out there on the internet. God is a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That doesn't sound like an angry God to me. He says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. See, pride can grieve the Spirit. Now, I'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 30. It says, but let no corrupt communication out of your mouth. What James and John said was corrupt communication, because it was full of pride. Let us consume them with fire. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know why? Because it's not about you, it's about others. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So tonight, are we an example promoting yourself? Are you an example of resisting God? Do you incite argument? Are you deceiving others or yourself? Do you realize that you're capable of doing this? Let's not make more case studies of pride, but let's humble ourselves and let God lift us up and use us as He sees fit, not what we think should happen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask You for this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. See if there be any proud way in us tonight, Lord, and help us to empty ourselves of that tonight. Lord, we love You. We want to serve You. We want to surrender to You. Help us to be on Your team, Lord, and not pulling against You. Lord, we give You this time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.